Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to talk running this morning, Fredericksburg Area Running Club lots of stuff to talk about with Brian Pesolano, the president of the Fredericksburg Area Running Club. Morning, Brian.
Morning, Ted. How's it going?
It's good to have you. It's good to have you here. And Vic Culp is here,
hey,
too. Vic,
how you doing?
Good to have you in this morning. I was just saying we usually only talk, we'll do a spring one of these or something in the early spring. But I like the spring and fall. And you mentioned, Vic, you got to stay in shape over the holidays.
Yeah, you don't want to add extra 15 pounds and... I added like 5 pounds over the holidays most of the year. One of the secrets has always been to plan a race in early January or February, yeah, so you have a goal to shoot for in the new year so you don't eat a little bit extra. So
it was a hot summer to train and to run some of these races.
Yeah. I always feel bad for, you know, when the people are training for the fall marathons. You're training right through the teeth of the summer, and it's a tough time to be putting those miles up. But yeah, it was a hot one.
But and I'm sure, were you going to say something?
Yeah, we were Braswell. We have a training program. Are you in training program?
Yeah.
And that starts mid-July, and we actually had to cancel two or three nights because it was over 100 degrees, mm-hmm, at 5 or 6 o'clock at night, because it was, and he encouraged us to run in the morning. And I actually participated this year in that training program, trying to recover from this heart procedure I had in April.
Yeah.
But had thunderstorms, didn't get all the sessions in, but it was... Not a good summer to train, mostly.
I guess you got to be careful whether it's in the heat, mm-hmm, not to try to push through.
Right. Yeah, it was nice actually this year, the Marine Corps Marathon last year. Like, they had to actually shut the course down early because, yeah, they had so many people. The medics, that's, were right, overwhelmed. Yeah. And this year, thank goodness, they were blessed with much better weather.
they have an interesting setup with the Marine Corps Marathon.
Yeah.
They have like 4 or 5 gauntlet points on the course. And if you don't make it by a certain time, they just reroute you towards the finish. Mm-hmm. I think you get a medal, but you're not considered an official finisher. So they didn't actually shut the race down. They just said, okay, we're going to shut this gauntlet down a little, yeah, bit earlier.
They divert you earlier.
And they divert you earlier.
Yep.
So people who got past that gauntlet in time, they still were able to finish.
Yeah.
And
I mean, you feel bad for the people that get diverted, but yeah, once the medical staff gets overwhelmed, yeah, and, you know, heaven forbid something else happens and then they don't have people to respond, they got to do it.
Yeah. And they have a 50K that goes along with that, with the marathon. Mm-hmm. And I actually was up there and I saw people starting the 50K 30 minutes late. Just before the marathon started, they started the 50K, and I'm pretty sure they weren't hitting the gauntlet points with even the 50K. So,
well, yeah, you're right. But to do all that training,
yeah,
yeah,
and to be that close,
yeah,
and but like you say, it's sometimes you have no choice,
right?
Yeah,
Vic, you mentioned about some of these training programs, and there's more and more of those. Whether you're running a marathon or a half, or even the Braswell race at a 5K. Those I know are real helpful to, and really are able to get people acclimated to and develop some habits to be able, right, to finish these races.
Yeah, the club is starting a training program at the New Year's. There's a 5K, 10K training, then a half marathon training. Brian might be able to give you more details, I'm not quite sure,
yeah,
on the dates and everything on that. But it's, the idea is the 5K training first in January, to get you from stationary to be able to run a 5K within 8 weeks, mm-hmm, or finish a 5K within 8 weeks. And then there's a 10K program after that, and then a half marathon to train for the Marine Corps Historic Half.
Right.
It's not really intended to go from stationary to half marathon.
In a year, no.
In that five-month period of time in May. But it's just... 3 different training programs. I don't know if Brian can give you more on that, what we're doing.
Yeah, so the first program for the 5K starts January 2nd, and the training is free. So you just come out and you run with us, and we'll help you get to a 5K. And then from there, I don't have the dates in front of me when the 10K and the half starts, but it'll, you know, go throughout the year. So depending on what your goals are for the year. You know, at the end of the day, the running club's mission is we're trying to promote running in the community, healthy lifestyles, and you know, we want people to come out and train with us. And maybe you'll stick around, join the club, sure, but the training itself is free. We have volunteers that will come out and work with you and keep you consistent. I mean, that's the big thing about training for any race, is just being consistent and having a plan.
That's got to be, for a person who's interested in running some races, to be able to at least run in a 5K.
Yep.
And it's not that long if you stick with this program.
Right. Yeah, and January 2nd, you know, a lot of people have those New Year's resolutions to get healthier, so we're here for you to help you along that path.
Yeah, the most of the 5K training programs are a combination of walking and running, where you start with like 5-minute segments where you're going to walk for maybe 3 minutes and run for 2 minutes. So it's not throwing you in a running right off the top and up to the point where you get where you're going to run the entire 30 minutes to 35 minutes towards the end of the 8 weeks. That's a similar program as the RUN training program done in the summer. The walking just gets your body used to moving for that period of time, being on your feet.
Yeah.
A lot of people, they're not used to even going out and standing for 45 minutes. So that's the main goal for it, is not to stress you right off the top, but to get you into it. It's generally 3 days a week. Tuesday, Thursday evenings,
and then
running club on Saturday. We have the group runs on at 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, and part of that is the group will meet for that. So, and I believe the 10K is going to start right after the 5K for, I think it's additional 4 or 5 weeks after the 5K training program. And I know the half marathon training program is probably going to be the 8 weeks leading up to the historic half, where you build your long runs and then experience hospitalization hill more than one time during training, so you're not hit with it on race day.
Yeah.
That's it. I've done that. The hill is tough, but then Cowan Boulevard, no one tells you about Cowan Boulevard.
Yeah.
And there's the neighborhood with Washington Street, or what is that?
Westwood?
Westwood, yes.
Yeah, through Westwood, that little hill at 3 miles is a little bit of a sneak.
Yep.
And the start-finish line has been moved closer to Fall Hill Avenue. Used to be right near the Expo Center or even near the stadium.
Yeah.
So the hill on Cowan Boulevard is in the 12th mile now. Mm-hmm. 12th and 13th mile, so it's clear towards the finish.
It wouldn't be a Marine Corps race without a hill at the end.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. And of course, Blue Gray Half Marathon's coming up here in December, and that race goes up the hill on Fall Hill.
Yep.
Which actually is steeper than Hospitalization Hill.
Yeah.
It's shorter, but you get to come back down it.
You get to come back down it. Well, you get to come back down a hill at Marine Corps. You have to come back down because it starts the same elevation and finishes. But the good part about Blue Gray is that hill's in the 5th mile.
Yep.
So you're generally fresher.
Yeah.
You're going up it, and you can rest when you get to the top.
Yeah, Blue Gray's on December 8th, so that's one of our Grand Prix races. We got two left this year.
Boy, that half marathon has been around a long time.
This will be the 25th year. We had 1 year that was canceled because of 9/11. So the first year was 2000. So this would have been the 24th running, 25th year.
Mm-hmm. And it's usually a December race is what kind of makes it a because of the weather, and you're not battling the the heat and all.
When it initially started, it was a September race, and the idea was a half marathon leading into the fall marathons, Richmond and Marine Corps. And somewhere along the line, we flipped another race in September, and that race moved into December. And I believe that people enjoyed the cooler weather.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Except for the snow years. But other than that, it was pretty good.
Well, Brian, to get involved in these kind of training things, and especially mm-hmm. I think if you do really want to get into running, and to, especially early in the year, to get involved and be able to run a 5K opens up a lot of things. If you can run a 5K, you can start adding some distance to that.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has to start someplace, and there's a lot of people that look at running and they're like, I'll never do a 5K race. And it's funny how many people, once they get in, they get the 5K and they're like, okay, you know, maybe I can do the next thing. And it just kind of becomes a little of a gateway to different distances, and you know, kind of opens up a lot of different things that you never thought you could do before. So it's very rewarding once you get in there. You get that first race under your belt, and you're like, I can do this. Yeah. And then you get to decide what your next goal is. Maybe you want to be faster. Maybe you want to do a longer distance. You just want to stay consistent, whatever it might be. So that's the nice thing about running, is you can set lots of goals for yourself to keep you.
Good to take a quick break and come back and continue on this morning with Brian Pesolano and Vic Culp, the Fredericksburg Area Running Club. RunFARC.com, the website. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Hello.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Brian Pesolano and Vic Culpin this morning, Fredericksburg Area Running Club. Brian, for people who don't know, I mean, the running club, so many advantages to getting involved, just whether it's just socially meeting people, staying in shape, all kinds of races. Talk about the running club and how people can get involved.
Yeah, so I mean, the best way is to come out on one of our Saturday runs. Every Saturday morning, we meet right downtown. Right now, during the colder months, it's 8 a.m. start, and during the warmer months, we start a little earlier at 7 a.m. But come out, you can run with us. We do have everything from run walkers all the way up to obviously the faster folks. And that group does 6 miles and 3 miles for, you know, most of the folks admittedly are doing six. But you can come out and join us, and it's a great way to get to know other local runners. And then people often find people that they run with outside of our group runs, mm-hmm. and other ways, you know, people that are doing the same events and maybe they want to train together. And then we do other social events, such like, you know, we do a brewery run once a month where we, you know, meet at Red Dragon Brewery or, you know, other places and then run from there. And the club does different social events. You know, we're getting ready to have our holiday party here soon. And then usually we'll rent one of the areas at the Fred Natch games in the summer, and we'll go see so it's both a social aspect and then also a way to stay consistent with your running and keep up with it. And then from a competitive standpoint, we have the Grand Prix series that you can take part in. You don't necessarily have to be a member of the club to take part in the series, but if you run any of the races we have throughout the year, you gather points based on where you finish, and then at the end of the year with a big banquet, cash prizes for the top finishers and other awards for age group and things like that. So all sorts of different ways to keep you motivated, meet other people, and just have a good time running. I know that sounds like a weird thing to say.
Well, there are a lot of different, there are running clubs in a lot of communities, but mm-hmm. I don't know that there are many that are as active and have so many, whether it's the Grand Prix races or just the social events, mm-hmm. and the group runs that you talked about.
Yeah, we have a very, very active running community in the area. We're very lucky to have that, and not to mention also just the you know, downtown and the areas around, you know, between the VCR trails, Canal Path, and Heritage Trail, and things like that. Lots of great places to run and safely run on top of that, which a lot of communities don't have, you know. So we have a really great community, a lot of very, very supportive people, and lots of opportunities to run races and take part in activities.
And the history of Vic, of this club, and you've helped chronicle so much of the history, but there really have been a lot of people over the years that have really committed themselves to helping grow what FARC is today.
Yeah, the club started in 1994. We're in our 30th year right now. And the newsletter editor last year asked me to start writing articles for the newsletter about the history of the races and the history of the club. And I've actually written 12 articles, maybe more, I think 12 or 13 now. Mm-hmm. And if you can't find them on the FARC archives, I've also posted them on my website, slowoldrunner.com, under FARC history. One of the interesting projects on that was actually trying to figure out what was happening before the running club started in the city. What were all the races in the city that happened before? And I spent hours in the basement of the library going through the old newspapers, Freelance Star newspapers, trying to find out what actually was reported on. And Kevin Breen, who is Cola Banker Elite, he's been our sponsor for the Grand Prix for the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. He actually came to the community in 1977, started as a real estate agent. And he also was one of the main people that actually started putting on races back then. He helped the put on kids races over at the YMCA.
Yeah.
Dale Saylor, who was one of the co-founders of FARC, he was also a founder of the, I think it was either the Rappahannock Roadrunners or the Fredericksburg Roadrunners in the late 70s. And then he moved out of the area for a while, and when he came back, the club had disbanded. But he was the one that kept those races going and the runs going back in the late 70s. They had a, I don't know if it was a weekly or monthly run at the James Monroe High School area. They did a quarter mile or a half mile run, then a mile run every time they had one of the sessions. And then they rotated through 2, 4, 3, and 6 mile runs on a rotational basis. So they kept those going. The first race that we saw in the city, road race in the city that I saw in the newspaper, was the historic Fredericksburg 10K. And that started in 1979 and went on for 3 years. The course they ran, we would never be able to run now. It hit every major, it was a two-loop course on every major street in town, William Street, Caroline Street, Princess Anne Street, Amelia Street, and it hit Washington Avenue also. It was a zigzag type course, but it hit every major downtown run, and it was if we could do that now, it'd be great. Then the second race that I saw was the 4th of July race.
Yeah.
Now the newspaper first reported on it in 1980. And as part of that report, they indicated there was a run the year before. So I assume it started in 1979. The Lions Club, they said their first race was in 1980, count-wise. So
that 79 race is a mystery.
It's a mystery of who did. But we do know that they all started at the Visitor Center.
Yep.
And on Caroline Street. And the first couple of years, it started in Caroline Street, went down, crossed the Falmouth Bridge, went up River Road on the Stafford side, crossed the Chatham Bridge, then went back down and finished in Old Mill Park. And they weren't really concerned about accurate distance when it comes to being exactly a 10K or a 5 mile. So their first couple of races were like 4.9 miles, 4.8 miles, whatever the distance was from point to point, which is sort of classic running. It really isn't the distance that mattered as well as going, you're the first one to get from this place to that place. Mm. I mean, in Massachusetts, the Falmouth Road Race is 7.1 miles, because it's from one point to another point up there. So that race then changed over to the Lions Club, and they went for a 5 mile and a loop through town, started and finished at the Visitor Center. Right now, since the city sold the Visitor Center.
Yeah, what happens to the 4th of July start?
We're planning on a course that starts and finishes at James Monroe. And
that's breaking news.
Yeah.
Hopefully the city approves it. we have to get some extra distance starting and finishing on the track. So we don't have to close any roads right at the start of the race and finish the race. And going up Washington Avenue, unfortunately have to hit Sunken Road, which is sometimes overused for races. Crossing William Street and the Fallen Heroes, Fredericksburg Fallen Heroes, are now the race organizers.
Yes, yeah.
And we were planning to take the course past the Fallen Heroes Monument on Liberty Street, George Street. Mm-hmm. So hopefully there'll be a photographer there taking pictures of the runners come past with the monument in the back, then crossing William Street again and then cutting back down and hitting Washington Avenue again to get back to James Monroe High School. We figured out a 5-mile course, and we were not really using more of the streets than we have in the past. I talked to the Fallen Heroes organizers, and I said, hey, maybe you can talk to the restaurant that's there and keep using their parking lot. But they don't think that's a possibility right now. So we're going to go with this James Rowe course, and should be an interesting course. That race has had a lot of history of runners going off course.
Oh, for 4th of July.
4th of July. Yeah. Reading these articles in the newspaper, when it used to go out from the visitor center, Caroline Street, go past the high school, and take a left turn going up Jeff Davis Highway. There's been times where the lead police car had gotten a call when they got to Jeff Davis.
Yeah.
And they had to take a right turn. Now, that's just a myth. It's really not true.
Yeah.
The plan was for the police car to make the right turn on Jeff Davis Highway because they can't make left turn into traffic.
Right.
So the runners just follow the police car instead of going up the hill. And anyway, we go up the hill, take a left onto College Avenue, come back down, loop back, and get back to the visitor center. Before we measured that course, it was a little bit over 5 miles. Being it was a hot day, not much more, maybe 40 feet. But the runners thought it had to be 5.1 miles since it was so hot and they were running slower. Another time, the lead runner actually, when they got to that intersection of Jeff Davis Highway and Fall Hill Avenue, the lead runner just went straight through, kept going on Fall Hill Avenue.
Oh, no.
And
that's a bad.
He ran across four lanes of traffic at 8:30 in the morning and maybe later, because initially these races started at 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. Some of them ran in the afternoon. I think one of these 10Ks
they had a 2 o'clock start. They usually tried to have it as something that led into the parade.
Yeah. And now we're trying to get to start earlier.
Oh, yes. It's so hot.
And knowing that heat is a factor, that we're probably going to have a 7 o'clock start this year for the 4th of July race. The hardest part with the early start races is getting the volunteers out there. I mean, runners are used to doing that. I mean, the historic half now starting at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, but your volunteers are out
the
there.
The volunteers are out there at 2 a.m.
I mean, for a great train race, I'm out there at 3 in the morning getting ready for that.
Right. I've seen that, yeah.
And that's the hardest part, is getting enough volunteers out there to help those nonprofits put their races on.
Yep.
You don't think about that, Brian, as far as, you know, about setting up a course, but then also having the volunteers working. I mean, you learned this real quickly when you first did the Great Train Race.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to get at the crack of dawn, get all your cones out, start marking the course, get ready to close the roads, and all that's even before the first volunteer shows up.
Yeah. So these races don't just happen.
No. It takes a lot of effort to put these on, especially, you know, like the half marathon coming up. When you start talking about that many roads that you're working on and things like that, it's quite an effort for sure.
So yeah, and just to, when you initially set up a race to measure it out, I know Vic, you do a lot of that, of measuring the course and getting it approved. So these races don't just happen.
Yeah, yes, I'm the only World Athletics certified measurer in the state.
You still have the wheel? You still do it with
no,
the wheel?
No, it's bicycle.
Oh, okay.
There is a mechanical counter on my front wheel, and I have to ride a course that we measured with steel tape, a fifth of a mile. I run that four times at the beginning. It gives me how many counts on that clicker are per mile, and then ride the course twice, and then recalibrate at the end to make sure that my air in my tires hasn't gone down during the course of the measurement. It changes all that barometric pressure, whatever comes in there.
There's an art to measuring courses. Yeah. It's an interesting thing.
The key part is I'm supposed to measure the shortest possible route that a runner can run. Not where runners are going to run, but where they possibly can run.
Interesting.
And that's
and when the roads are not closed, he's doing this.
And, and usually I like to measure in June because I can get out at 5 in the morning when the light first light. Yeah. Where there's fewer cars. It's usually on a Sunday morning too. But it, I mean, I see runners, like the historic half, running way off where the shortest possible route is. Mm-hmm. And they're always complaining, my Garmin said I ran 13.5 yeah. miles. And I said, well, of course you probably did. Yeah. And
it's a good reminder.
Yeah.
It's a good reminder. Vic Culp here, Brian Pesolano here this morning. Fredericksburg Area Running Club, our focus. Great stuff this morning. RunFARC.com is the website. There's also a great Facebook page to follow the running community in the area. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:32.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg.
Channel.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
We are talking Fredericksburg Area Running Club this morning. RunFARC.com. Brian Pesolano and Vic Culp here talking about local running. The we were talking about the Grand Prix. So what, you got two more Grand Prix races?
Two more races left. The Blue and Gray Half on December 8th. And then the Frosty 5K on December 14th. That's up in Stafford at the Jeff Rouse Center.
That's a great race. That's a fun race. I don't know if it's because it's the end of the year or people are dressed up in Christmas stuff, but it's a fun race.
Yeah, and they always have an elf that provides entertainment before and after the race, and everyone usually dresses up in all sorts of fun holiday costumes. It's a blast.
So
that one's not an early race either. I think it's a 10 o'clock start.
I believe so.
Yeah, it's a late. You're right.
It's a little bit later.
It's a little bit later.
Not have to get up quite as early.
It's always cold.
Initially, the Christmas parade, the Stafford Christmas parade was on Mine Road. And where is Christmas parade this year up there?
They're always moving.
Last time it was at the airport. I don't know.
Yes, I think so. Okay. But you're right. They've moved it around. It was over there by the Rouse Center.
So we ran the Frosty. Was in conjunction with the Christmas parade and the Christmas celebration. Stafford Tourism was the one that started the activities at the Rouse Center for the Christmas program.
Yes.
And then, hey, let's add a 5K on. Well, it was a 5K initially. And the road between up to Austin Ridge Road isn't long enough to do an out and back. So we have to add a little bit of an uphill going up Ember Mill Road, but it's not too bad. It's steep, but it's only maybe another extra 100 feet going up the hill and coming back down it to make it a 5K. We wanted to have it a 3-mile race, but everybody likes 5K rather than 3 miles. Yeah. So we had to throw that extra little bit of hill in there. They use the same course.
Those extra tenths of a mile are very important.
Yeah.
So the next race or the Turkey Trot is coming up, and again another great tradition to be able to run that race.
Yeah, Turkey Trots. I mean, it's actually funny. It's probably, I believe it is, the highest participating, has the most runners participate on Thanksgiving Day of any other day of the year.
Yeah,
because so many families come out and do the Turkey Trot. It makes you feel better when you get your dinner later that day. But the local one here, how many runners do they normally have? It's a pretty large race.
Between 2,500 and 4,000. It's been in the range. It's been up to 4,000 in the past, I believe.
So, very big event. It's a load of fun. I mean, lots of communities have their Turkey Trots, and I think we have a pretty awesome one here locally, and supports the YMCA.
Yeah, YMCA is the organizers. Run Washington, they have a schedule of all the races in the Washington, D.C. area. And one year, I think I saw 40 Turkey Trots in their upcoming races.
Yep.
Most are on Thanksgiving. There's some prior to Thanksgiving.
Marine Corps does theirs on Quantico.
Quantico Base does theirs the Saturday before.
Yep.
And they actually give turkeys out as their first place prizes.
Yep.
Natalie Daniels, she won the 10K last year at Quantico.
Yes.
They gave her a turkey.
And she didn't even know. She didn't expect. She finished. I said, you know you're getting a turkey. She's like, no. I have no idea. She's like, I've never cooked a turkey before. Yeah. What do I do with this thing? So she ended up making it for a holiday party.
She cooked her first turkey.
So we all got to eat her turkey prize.
How about that? Yeah. Well, that worked out well.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I remember, I go back to remember, I remember when the turkey trot, you would start in front of the library.
Yes.
But it's too, it's, it, yeah, it's it, too it got big. Too big, it's, and so now it's big. Over by JM.
Right. Yeah, it went from the library, I think the biggest crowd we had there was maybe just under 2,000, and that was way too big for the parking and everything downtown.
Yeah, there was no it was hard to find parking.
And it really congested up everything down there. Moved out to James Moore High School, and then for a couple of years we moved out to Central Park.
That's right.
Then came back to the high school. We figured out a route, a more circuitous route around, and it actually goes downtown now. Gets onto Charles Street downtown. So that's a nice part about that race now, as you get more than just below the college streets. And it's set up now that we can run in multiple ways. Start 5 minutes apart, try to get all the faster runners out first, and then you pick your way based on your expected finish time. And it goes for a good probably hour and a half between the first runner starting off and the last runner or walker finishing. And the start line and finish line don't overlap, so they can organize the crowd for the ways and then have plenty of space to, at the finish. Plenty of parking around that area on Thanksgiving. You got all those parking lots with the old hospital parking lots there, and then over, I guess people park at, that's a parking shop. It's the Fredericksburg Shopping Center is another spot down there. So there's plenty of opportunities down there. Good part about running a race on Thanksgiving is that you're burning 300 to 500 calories, either running, warming up, walking, whatever you're getting there. So you're not quite as guilty about eating, but you still have to watch out what you eat afterwards, because it is still only 300 to 500 calories.
Get yourself an extra piece of pumpkin pie.
Yeah, yeah.
So go make a memory on Thanksgiving and get involved with the turkey trot. RunFARC.com, again, the website for the Fredericksburg Area Running Club. So, Brian, you're known for, well, I don't know if you're
what
known.
What am I known for?
You're known for me, for the great train race. Yeah. So, do we have a May date for that yet?
We do, May 4th. So everyone can remember that one. May the 4th be with you. That's the great train race this year.
Yeah.
So, looking forward to that. We had a great event this year. 1,500 kids out there running. For those of you that are not aware of the Great Train Race, one of the largest kids races around. We have a mile, a half mile, and a quarter mile for the little guys. So we get the toddlers out there, and they do a quarter mile run with their parents. It's super cute, a lot of fun. So everything from our one milers out there, you know, a little more competitive, on down to just going out to have fun. And it's a great way to introduce kids to some running activities and having a good time.
Yeah. Good part, it's broken by, the heats are broken by sex and age. So you're running with your classmates in your particular heat. And we also give awards out by single age. So I think we go five deep now.
Yeah, top five.
Top five in each individual age, from 6 to 10, and then has multiple groupings after that. But you're still running with your peers. Rather than everybody just going out at one time. So it's a nice format.
For high school runners, I know when my kids were running and they ran at Chancellor High School, this was a great chance to run against some Stafford runners or some Commonwealth District runners. And it was the high school, it's pretty competitive, or it can be if they're allowed to run. But yeah, we'll talk much more in the spring about Great Train Race. But have a date. You just feel like the winter will go faster, Brian.
That's right. Yeah.
If we can talk about the Great Train Race. The other thing that kind of tied into that, you've got a great program for young runners to get involved in running.
Yeah, so part of the Fredericksburg Area Running Club is we have the Ospreys, which is a youth running team, and they meet twice a week. They train out at Pratt Park. We have an amazing set of volunteer coaches that, you know, they bring the kids in. They assess where they're at so that they provide them training at the level that they're at. It's really great for kids that have any eyes in doing cross-country running or, again, just want to stay active. You don't necessarily have to compete in races or meets if you don't want to, but that's certainly an opportunity as part of the program as well. It was actually recognized by the Roadrunners Club of America as one of the top running youth running programs in the country. So we're very lucky to have that group. They'll have about 50 kids out there at a training session, so it's very well attended. And it just comes with being a part of being a member to the running club. You get that availability for your kids to participate in Ospreys.
Well, in these races that we talk, there's so many opportunities for kids to run, and it gets them away from a small screen, and it's fun.
A lot of races do add typically a 1 mile race, kind of geared towards the younger audience. And we just this past weekend we had the Fred Natz Salute to Veterans, so we ran out at the Fred Natz Park, and part of that is a 1 mile. That one is super cool because the finish line is right field.
Yeah.
And as you're coming in, you get to see yourself up on the scoreboard. And so that one's a lot of fun. We just had that, and that was a great time. Great weather. We were lucky for another wonderful, wonderful race day, for sure.
So there really are a lot, like we said earlier, just the options that are around here. And there always seems to be another race that a new race or two that, mm-hmm. that comes up. But one of the great things about having you two come in, you both always come in and have the greatest shirts. Vic's got a JFK 50-mile shirt, and Brian, you've got the Run Through History 10K. When you run, I've always liked getting the shirts. A lot of people don't like shirts anymore, and they're not as cool as they once were, but they still are to me.
It depends on how many races you run. You get to a point where it's like, what do I do with all these shirts? I've literally got one of those gigantic, you know, plastic Tupperware containers full of the shirts that kind of I've phased out of my rotation. But yeah, it's nice. It's cool when you go around town and you see people with their different race shirts on. Like, oh yeah, I ran that. Uh-huh. It becomes kind of a topic for discussion.
Yeah, we talked about history. Originally, the only people that got race shirts were the winners. Mm. That was the prize.
Whoa.
The age group prizes were the winners.
Never gotten anything.
So somewhere along the line, then they said, okay, we'll give a shirt to everybody who finishes the race. Mm-hmm. And I think Peachtree was the one that said, we'll give one to the first 1,000 finishers. Peachtree 10K down in Atlanta, 4th of July race. They get about 50,000 people. It goes on for like 8 hours. I'm not sure how they do that. But and then it's moved on to everybody gets a shirt when you register or some sort of premium. Mm-hmm. I still get the shirts. I have a closet full of shirts. I have boxes full of shirts. I like getting shirts because it's, you know,
you put the time in. You put the work, effort in to run it.
And it's interesting that right now, I may not wear. I don't wear the shirt on race day. I put it on the top of the stack, and I sort of cycle through them. Yeah. And I might come up with a shirt that I ran a race 6 months ago. That's the first time I've worn the shirt.
Now, are you like me, where you feel like you can't wear the shirt until
run it?
You
definitely cannot wear the shirt before you finish the race.
I'm a huge believer, right? You can't wear your race shirt until you finish
the race.
Yes.
And it's the same thing when you warm up. You can't cross the finish line as part of your warm up.
No.
Yeah.
It's definite. And as I said, I don't wear the shirt, put it on the stack, and just sort of cycles through, and eventually it comes out. Most of the races now are giving away technical shirts, and which are easier to run in hot weather.
Yeah.
And I cycle through my technical shirts, and my cotton shirts are in a separate pile. But I have a rack in my office with probably, I'd say, 10 piles of shirts. I mean, it's a good size, 6-foot-high rack. And then I still have another probably 3 or 4 large boxes in the shed.
I've had a quilt made out of some
yeah,
mine.
I have done that. I have had that too.
The real question is, and I got this big stack of medals. The big question is, what are my kids going to do with this stuff?
Yeah.
Don't think about it, Vic. You don't want to know.
Yeah, don't
want to know. Yeah. Now, Bob Gertler, who was a prolific runner, he ran 102 races when he was in his 80s in a year. He passed away over the last couple of years, he has a memorial race this coming Saturday in the Plains. And I've asked the question before, what have they done with all his stuff?
Yeah.
And apparently, when the last time I asked him, they still hadn't sold the house. So his house, he had stuff in the house. So I might ask, where's all his medals? And because he was not necessarily a repetitive runner, but he also was a good runner. I mean, he won some age group awards at USATF track races. He actually had to be drug tested a couple of years because of winning awards. And this was when he was in his late 70s and 80s. He came down, run races here. He was one of my, when I was a timer in town, he was one of my real good customers coming down, running races. You don't notice him. He was always the one who wore the red singlet and red shorts, gray hair. He was the mayor of the Plains, and he'd never wear an undershirt. Snowing, he'd still wear a red singlet.
Oh, yeah. No.
He might put gloves on.
Yeah.
But he, tough guy. He was a real good runner in the area. But as I said, the question is now,
what happens?
What happens to the shirts and the medals?
I think, Brian, you're right.
My daughter. My daughter knows how important these things are. She'll probably keep them. God bless her. I mean, if something happens to me.
I have the stack of 26 JFK medals. And what are my daughters going to do with them? Because they're actually worth something. I don't know if they're worth anything. But they're worth something to me.
You know, monetary value.
They're worth something to me.
They definitely mean something.
Yeah. Quick break. We're going to wrap this up this morning. Good stuff. We could go for hours.
Oh, yeah.
Brian and Vic from the Fredericksburg Area Running Club, runfark.com. We'll conclude when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Brian Pesolano, Vic Culpeter this morning, Fredericksburg Area Running Club, runfark.com. The website's Election Day. Vic, I know you wanted to just encourage everyone, get out to vote.
Yeah, we've talked on the breaks here. Ted's already voted early voting. Brian went out this morning. I'm actually going to run over and vote at my precinct here when I get off this the interview here. I've done that. I'm the only person, I guess, that runs in there with running clothes on to vote.
Very fitting.
Vic,
I can see my precinct from my house, but there's a train track in the way, so it's a 2-mile run around the train tracks to get across them. But other than that, make sure y'all go out and vote today.
I said on our sister station this morning, I said, instead of sitting around and fretting and waiting for the returns, get out today. It's going to be about 80 degrees today.
Yeah.
Get out and run and walk and enjoy enjoy what we have around here. Before we run out of time, Brian, the Fredericksburg Area Running Club again. You can become a member. There are benefits. You can go around with shirts like you got. You guys are the two coolest guys. Whenever you come in, because you always come in with race shirts.
Yeah. Certainly, if anybody's interested in coming out to run with us, like I said, anybody's welcome to come out on Saturdays and join us. But if you're interested in finding out more about the club, runfark.com. We're on social media. Check us out. Come run with us. Love to have you. So,
well, 4 years ago, Vic, you wrote a book.
Yeah.
Go for 25. That was sent me. It's a great. It's a diary.
It's a diary of my training for my 25th JFK. It was 2020, so it also chronicled some of the history and what was happening in 2020.
It does,
which included Election Day, in which I forget what I wrote about Election Day.
Yeah, you wrote. Yeah, no, you talked about Wisconsin. And it's a great book. Yeah. Just to chronicle running, and I guess you can get it on Amazon or
It's on Amazon. Also, my blog slowoldrunner.com has a link to the web to Amazon.
Yeah,
Election Day was 3 weeks before JFK, so it was all through the misperceptions of what was happening during the election. After that, I think I might have included that in the book. I'll have to go back and read my own diary.
So go for 25 by Vic Culp. It's a great pickup and it's a great read. Thank you both for coming in. This is
pleasure as always, Ted.
We'll do it when it starts to warm up or when the right before the Grand Prix in the spring. Runfark.com. Brian Pesolano, Vic Culp. Thanks, guys.
Great. Thanks. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.